Chapter 2. Fat and Emulsification, from the World Cooking Systems Atlas. After this chapter, the moment your hollandaise breaks, your pesto goes oily, your pasta sauce slides off the noodles, or your stew tastes thin, even though there's butter in it, you'll know which of three jobs the fat was failing at, and which lever to pull next. 1. Fat is not flavor. There's a sentence that has confused home cooks for two generations. Fat is flavor. It is one of those food television lines that is almost true, and therefore very hard to argue with at the time, and very expensive to believe later. Fat does carry flavor. That part is real. Aroma molecules, the small volatile compounds that account for 90-some percent of what we call taste, are mostly fat-soluble. Without fat, almost every spice, every herb, every aromatic vegetable, every brown surface releases its perfume into the air, instead of into the sauce. A purely water-based liquid is a very poor distributor of garlic. A teaspoon of olive oil, added to the same liquid, becomes generous. But fat is not flavor. Fat is the medium that lets flavor travel. The same teaspoon of olive oil with no aromatics in it tastes of olives, and only of olives, which is fine if olives is what you wanted, but it is not flavor in any larger sense. The fact that we say fat is flavor out loud and carrier of flavor only in our heads has a real cost. It sends home cooks looking for richness when what their dish actually needs is acid, or salt, or temperature, or one more minute of heat. This chapter argues something less catchy and more useful. Fat does three jobs in cooking, and they are independent. A dish can succeed at one and fail at another. The moment you can name which job is failing, every broken sauce problem becomes a list of two or three things to check instead of a mystery. The three jobs: fat as carrier, the medium that distributes aroma and seasoning through a dish. Fat as structural agent, the active partner in an emulsion that holds water and oil in one phase. Fat as textural finish, the mouthfeel layer that gives a finished dish its final character. When a sauce breaks, when a soup tastes flat in spite of all that butter, when a pesto runs oily, when a stew feels like two ingredients sharing a bowl instead of one dish, almost always, one of the three jobs has been asked to do all three at once, or one has quietly stopped working without the cook noticing. The cuisines we love most are good at separating the jobs. The French codify it through the mother sauces. The Italians do it through pasta water emulsions and finishing oils. The Japanese do it through dashi then fat layering. The Indians do it through tarka, the deliberate, late infusion of spices into hot fat at the end of cooking. The Chinese do it through the rendered fat finish that defines stir-frying. Different vocabulary, the same three jobs. 2. The three roles of fat. Carrier, the aroma medium. Fat is the cook's most reliable solvent for aroma. Heat any whole spice or aromatic vegetable in oil or butter, and within 30 to 90 seconds, the volatile compounds dissolve into the fat. The same vegetables in water can simmer for an hour and release a fraction as much. This is why almost every traditional cuisine starts its dishes with the same gesture. A fat goes into the pan, an aromatic goes into the fat, and something rests there until it is perfumed. The French call it the fin de cuisson. The Italians call it the sofrito. The Spanish call it the sofrito. The Latin American, recaudo. The Japanese, tempering of sesame oil over ginger. The Indian, tarka. The Chinese, hot wok with scallion and ginger. The mistake is to think of this gesture as browning the vegetables. It is something more specific. It is moving the flavor out of the solid material and into the medium that will then carry it through the rest of the dish. Once the carrier is loaded, every spoonful of finished dish contains a fraction of it. Without that step, the aromatics stay locked in the vegetable matrix where they started, and the dish tastes like its ingredients in a row rather than as a chord. The signature of a successful carrier step is olfactory. When you lean over the pan, you can name the spice before you can see what's in the dish. The signature of a failed carrier step is silence. The air over the pot smells of cooking, but not of any specific thing. This is also where the home cook instinct of more butter, more oil goes wrong. If the carrier was never properly loaded, more fat at the end does not retroactively transport more aroma. It only adds richness. And richness without aroma is the precise definition of heavy. Structural agent, the emulsion holder. The second job is the one most home cooks describe as mysterious, because it depends on a state of matter that wants to stop existing. An emulsion is a mixture of two liquids that in their normal state refuse to mix. Oil and water are the classic pair. Without intervention, they separate within seconds. With the right intervention, they form a stable suspension where one of them, usually the oil, exists as microscopic droplets surrounded by the other. The result is a smooth, opaque, often glossy liquid that behaves like a single substance, even though chemically, it is two. That intervention is mechanical. The whisk, the food processor, the immersion blender, the steady stream while pouring, but also chemical. It requires an emulsifier, a substance whose molecules can hold onto water on one end and oil on the other. The classic emulsifiers in the kitchen are egg yolk for mayonnaise, hollandaise, aioli, mustard, a secondary stabilizer in vinaigrettes, and butter solids themselves for beurre blanc and pan sauces. When a cook says a sauce broke, they mean the emulsion stopped existing. The droplets fused, the oil pulled out. The water or wine or vinegar or whatever the aqueous phase was separated and ran. What you have left in the pan is not a single sauce, but two liquids and some solid bits, sitting next to each other in defeat. The reason emulsions break? Temperature. Most emulsions are temperature sensitive. Hollandaise breaks above about 70 degrees Celsius. Beurre blanc breaks above about 90 degrees Celsius. Cold mayonnaise broken by a too fast addition of oil is the same failure read backward. The emulsifier could not catch up. Speed. Too much oil added too quickly overwhelms the emulsifier's ability to coat each droplet. The droplets fuse before they can be stabilized. Mechanical disturbance. A sauce held in a low energy state, gentle warmth, slow whisking can survive. The same sauce in a vibrating pan over a too hot burner falls apart. Acid imbalance. Too little acid, and the proteins in the emulsifier can't unfold to do their work. Too much, and the proteins denature. The 10 worked examples in this chapter, section 6, include three different emulsion families: yolk stabilized, butter solid stabilized, and starch stabilized, because the same word emulsion hides three different machines. Knowing which machine you're operating is most of the skill. Textural finish, the mouthfeel layer. The third job is the one that gets attention only when it is missing. A dish can succeed at carrier, the aromatics are well loaded and succeed at structural, the sauce is smooth, holding, and still feel thin on the palate. The missing piece is usually a late, deliberate addition of fat that exists not to carry aroma and not to hold an emulsion, but simply to coat the mouth on the way down. This is fat as texture. The classic gesture, a pat of cold butter swirled into the pan at the last moment, off the heat, the Montero burr of French cooking. A drizzle of finishing olive oil over a finished plate of pasta. The dollop of yogurt on a curry. The cream stirred into the soup right before the bowl. The schmaltz brushed over the chicken at service. The lardo melting over the warm bread. The toasted sesame oil added to the noodle bowl after the heat is off. None of these contribute much to aroma carrying. The dish is finished, the heat is too low, and the dwell time too short to transfer aromatics from solid to fat. None contribute structure. The emulsion is already set, or there isn't one. Their entire job is how it feels, smooth, coating, present. The home cook mistake here is in the opposite direction from the carrier mistake. With the carrier, the danger is adding fat too late, where it can only add weight. With the textural finish, the danger is adding fat too early, where the cooking time burns off its mouthfeel quality and reduces it to grease. A spoonful of butter dropped into a stew 30 minutes before service contributes essentially nothing as a textural finish. The same spoonful, off the heat, 2 minutes before plating, transforms the dish. The three jobs map roughly onto three moments in the cooking timeline. Carrier, the start. Fat heats first, aromatics go in, the medium is loaded. Structural agent, the middle, where the sauce is built. Textural finish, the end, off the heat, often unblended on purpose. When you read a recipe and it calls for olive oil in three different paragraphs, you are usually looking at three different jobs being asked of the same ingredient. The skilled cook learns to see them as three distinct gestures, not one. Emulsion as controlled instability. The word emulsion arrives in most cookbooks with no context, as if it were a thing the cook either knows about or doesn't. It is worth being explicit. An emulsion is the deliberate creation for a few minutes or a few hours of a state that does not want to exist. Oil and water are not just chemically uninterested in each other. They are actively organized to repel. The cook's job is to keep them suspended in a metastable arrangement long enough to plate, serve, and eat, knowing the whole time that as soon as the dish cools too far or sits too long or is reheated badly, the arrangement will collapse and the two liquids will go back to being two liquids. This is why every emulsion-based sauce has a narrow window, a temperature range, a stirring pattern, a holding behavior, outside which the sauce fails. The window is not a constraint to be wished away. It is the price of admission to the state. Three things keep an emulsion alive inside the window. Mechanical energy. The whisk, the blender, the stream of pouring. Without continuous mechanical energy at the moment of creation, the droplets cannot be broken small enough to suspend. After creation, the energy requirement drops dramatically. A hollandaise that has been built does not need to be whisked every second. But during creation, the energy is non-negotiable. An emulsifier. A molecule with a hydrophilic, water-loving end, and a hydrophobic, oil-loving end. The most common kitchen emulsifiers. Egg yolk, about 9% lecithin and 16% protein, both of which serve as emulsifiers. Yolk is the workhorse. Mayonnaise, hollandaise, aioli, béarnaise, crème anglaise, all yolk-stabilized. Mustard, myrosin, mucilage, and protein fragments. A small spoonful in a vinaigrette stabilizes it for service. Butter solids. Milk proteins and lipids dispersed in butterfat. Beurre blanc, beurre monté, and pan sauces are stabilized by what the butter itself brings. Starch, released from pasta water, cacio e pepe, olio e olio, or from stirring in a roux. The starch granules coat oil droplets and prevent fusion. The fish itself, the gelatinous protein in cod skin and collarbones, acts as the emulsifier in bacalao al pil pil, possibly the most underrated emulsion machine in any cuisine. A working temperature. Each emulsion lives in a narrow temperature band, and the bands are not the same. Cold, mayonnaise aioli, room temperature. Warm, hollandaise béarnaise around 60 to 65 degrees Celsius. Above 70 degrees Celsius, the yolk overcooks and the sauce splits. Hot, beurre blanc and pan sauces, just below simmer, around 80 to 85 degrees Celsius. Above 90 degrees Celsius, the butter solids fuse and the emulsion breaks. Hot with starch. Cacio e pepe and pasta water sauces, around 70 degrees Celsius, hot enough to keep the starch hydrated, cool enough to keep the cheese from clumping. Hot with protein, pil pil, warm enough to soften the gelatin and the fish skin, never hot enough to scramble it, around 60 to 65 degrees Celsius. A dish that always splits when I reheat it is almost always being pushed outside its working temperature on the second pass. The fix is rarely add more fat, and almost always lower the heat or warm it more gently. The fat family's butter is approximately 80% fat, 16% water, 3% milk solids, and a small amount of salt, in salted versions. The four-component structure is the entire reason butter behaves differently from oil. When you melt butter, the water evaporates first, which is why pan sauces sizzle for a moment when butter goes in. The solids separate and fall to the bottom, which can burn. Beurre noisette is the catch before they do, and the fat clarifies on top. This is also why butter is such a flexible emulsifier. The milk solids that fall out when butter is clarified are themselves the emulsifying agents in beurre blanc, which is why a beurre blanc made from clarified butter does not work. The cook is removing the very thing that holds the sauce together. Butter's working register is warm. Cold butter into a hot pan sauce reduction emulsifies brilliantly. Hot butter into a cold sauce does not. The cold to warm direction works. The warm to cold direction usually fails. Beurre noisette, butter cooked until the solids brown and the smell turns nutty, extends butter's flavor register without losing its emulsifying capacity, and is one of the most useful single techniques in French cooking. Oil, in a recipe, is almost always underspecified. Smoke point, flavor profile, monounsaturated fraction, and whether the oil has been refined or pressed cold, all matter. The cook does not need to know the chemistry, but does need to know two categorical things. Working oils, high smoke point, neutral flavor, peanut, refined sunflower, grapeseed, refined canola. These exist to carry heat and aroma without contributing flavor of their own. They are the workhorses of stir-fry, deep-fry, and high-heat sauté. Finishing oils, low smoke point, strong flavor, extra virgin olive oil, cold-pressed sesame, walnut, pumpkin seed. These exist for the textural finish job. Putting an extra virgin olive oil into a hot wok wastes the very thing it was pressed to deliver. Its aromatics burn off in seconds. The single most common home cook error in fat selection is using a finishing oil for the carrier job. The aromatics burn before they can be carried. The dish tastes both heavier and emptier than the same dish made with a working oil for the heat and a few drops of finishing oil at the end. Cream and dairy. Cream sits structurally between butter and milk, 30 to 48% fat depending on grade, the rest mostly water with milk proteins and lactose. Cream's main contribution is structural. It is one of the few fats that can be both reduced, the proteins concentrate and thicken, and emulsified. The milk proteins act as the emulsifier for the cream's own fat. This is the entire mechanism behind velouté style and bechamel adjacent sauces, and it is also why cream finished pasta dishes, a Roman carbonara uses no cream, but many cream finished variants exist, feel different from butter finished ones. The danger with cream is graininess. Cream proteins denature at temperatures only modestly above simmer, about 85 to 90 degrees Celsius, and once they do, the sauce becomes grainy in a way that no amount of whisking will undo. The remedy is always lower heat and longer time, never higher heat to push through. Egg yolk. A single yolk is a small emulsion machine. About 50% water, 16% protein, 30% fat, and 9% lecithin. The lecithin is the active emulsifier, the proteins are the secondary structural agent. Yolk emulsions are temperature sensitive in two directions. Too cold and the yolk is too viscous to mobilize the lecithin. Too hot and the proteins coagulate, locking up the emulsifier. The window, 50 degrees Celsius to about 70 degrees Celsius for hollandaise, room temperature for mayonnaise, is narrow but reliable. A safety note on raw and lightly cooked yolk. Mayonnaise, aioli, and in some regional versions béarnaise are built around raw or lightly cooked yolk. Pasteurized yolk is widely available and is the safer choice for pregnancy, immunocompromised diners, very young, or very old eaters. Substitute when the audience calls for it. Nuts, seeds, and rendered fat, a category often overlooked. Sesame paste, peanut paste, ground almond, ground hazelnut, and pine nut paste all behave as fat carriers in their own right. The oil is already predispersed through a starchy or proteinaceous matrix. Pesto is the most famous example, but the structural principle is identical in tahini, in romesco, in aji de gallina, where ground walnut and bread carry the aromatic base, and in any nut-thickened curry. Rendered animal fat, duck fat, schmaltz, lard, beef tallow, is the working oil's heavier sibling. Higher smoke point than most pressed oils, distinct flavor, and in the case of duck fat and schmaltz especially, a textural quality that makes it a finishing fat as well as a working one. Duck fat over a roasted potato is not just a high smoke point alternative to vegetable oil, it is the textural finish applied at the very end. How different cuisines use fat differently. Chapter 1 looked at how cuisines organize flavor. This chapter looks at how they give that flavor weight, movement, and texture. The three jobs from Section 2, carrier, structural agent, textural finish, exist in every cuisine. What varies is which of the three each tradition has elevated to its central technique, and which of the three it leaves nearly invisible. French cooking is, more than any other major tradition, organized around the structural agent job. The mother sauces are a typology of emulsions and emulsion-adjacent suspensions. Bechamel, roux-based, velouté, roux plus stock, espagnol, long-reduced, tomate, the outlier, concentrate and reduce, and hollandaise. The sauce notebook on this site is a working manual for the French structural agent approach. This chapter sits one level above it. Italian cooking distributes fat across all three jobs, but specializes in the textural finish. The pasta water that finishes nearly every plate of Italian pasta is, technically, a starch-stabilized emulsion of pan fat and water. But the cook does not think of it as a sauce. They think of it as the gesture that makes the pasta and the oil meet, without one running off the other. Cacio e pepe, olio e olio, and pasta al pomodoro are all variations on the same finishing emulsion. Pesto alla Genovese is the same logic applied to a no-cook sauce. The nut paste, cheese, and oil are pre-emulsified by mortar before they ever meet the pasta. Japanese cooking keeps the three jobs strictly separate, often in three different ingredients. Dashi provides the aroma carrier, kombu plus bonito, no fat. Soy and miso provide the umami structural backbone, with negligible fat. Sesame oil, toasted, finishes, a single drop over the bowl after the heat is off. The cuisine's reputation for being lighter than Western cooking is not because it uses less fat overall. It is because Japanese cooking refuses to ask one fat to do two jobs at once. The aroma carrying is moved into dashi, water-based, fat-free. Fat is reserved almost exclusively for textural finish. Indian cooking offers some of the clearest examples of the carrier role. Tarka, the late tempering of spices in hot ghee or oil, then poured over a finished dal, is a deliberate, time-sequenced infusion. The aromatics meet the fat at the exact moment they will best dissolve, and the result is added at the moment of service. No fat is wasted on long cook duty, where it would lose its aromatic load. Many Indian dishes use fat twice, once at the start of the dish, to bloom the masala, and once at the end, the tarka, with different spices in each pass. Chinese cooking offers some of the clearest examples of the textural finish, specifically, the rendered fat finish that defines a properly executed stir-fry. Wok hei, often translated as breath of the wok, is in part a textural effect. The rendered animal fat, or smoking hot peanut oil, coats every surface of every ingredient with a microscopic layer that makes the dish feel glossy on the tongue without weighing it down. Cantonese, Sichuan, and Hunan cuisines all use this technique. The spice and acid balance varies. The textural finish job is identical. Spanish, Levantine, and North African cooking specialize in the carrier role through the sofrito family. Tomato, onion, garlic, pepper, olive oil. Slow, low, perfumed until the oil itself is colored and aromatic, and the base is then folded into the dish. Bacalao al pil pil is the same cuisine's most extreme demonstration of the structural agent role. The gelatin in the cod skin emulsifies its own cooking oil into a sauce. With no added thickener, no egg yolk, and almost no movement of the pan, beyond the rhythmic low-speed shake that holds the suspension together. The pattern is clear and worth saying explicitly. No cuisine is better at fat than another. They are good at different jobs. The diagnostic question, when a dish from another tradition fails for you at home, is rarely, "I need more butter." It is, which of the three jobs has this cuisine asked the fat to do, and which one did I fail to do? Worked examples from the catalog. 10 dishes from the site, each chosen because it exemplifies one or more of the three jobs. Read the linked recipe for the working method. Read this section for what the dish is doing structurally. Aioli, pure yolk emulsion, no heat. Aioli is the simplest version of an emulsifier stabilized fat. Raw yolk, plus raw garlic, plus olive oil, plus lemon. The yolk does the structural work. The garlic and lemon do the seasoning. Nothing carries aroma here. There is no heat. And nothing finishes texture. The texture is the dish. Pure structural agent job, executed at room temperature. Common failure. Oil added too fast. The lecithin in the yolk cannot keep up with the volume of new droplets, and they fuse before being coated. The fix is mechanical. Add the oil more slowly. Or chemical. Start with a smaller batch. Aglio e olio. Pasta water emulsion, no yolk. A starch-stabilized emulsion. The pasta releases starch into the cooking water. The cook adds a ladle of that starchy water to a pan of oil and garlic. The starch coats the oil droplets and suspends them. Result, a glossy, opaque sauce from three ingredients, oil, garlic, water. Common failure, not enough starch. Pasta cooked in too much water or rinsed has no starch left to do the emulsifying. The sauce slides off the noodles into a pool at the bottom of the bowl. Bacalao al pil pil, the fish does the emulsifying. The most elegant emulsion in this list. Salt cod cooks gently in olive oil. The gelatin in the cod skin slowly dissolves into the oil. A rhythmic low amplitude shake of the pan suspends the oil and the gelatin water as a pale yellow emulsion. No yolk, no butter, no starch, no whisk. The fish is the emulsifier. Common failure, too much heat. Above about 70 degrees Celsius, the gelatin overheats and the sauce splits. The Basque kitchens that perfected this dish never let the oil come to a sizzle. Badma cauda, anchovy, oil, garlic, and butter as one warm bath. A carrier dish, not a structural one. The aim is to load olive oil and butter with anchovy, garlic, and in some versions cream, until every drop of the warm bath carries all three. Bread, raw vegetables, and the occasional bite of meat are dipped in. The dish meets the dipper. Fat is doing carrier and textural finish jobs at the same time. Common failure? Garlic added raw at the start. The bath is meant to be slowly perfumed. The garlic should be poached in milk first, or grated very finely so it dissolves into the warm fat. Basic pan sauce, fond plus cold butter. The simplest Montero burr in the catalog. Meat is seared, the pan is deglazed with stock or wine, cold butter is swirled in off the heat at the end. The milk solids in the butter emulsify the deglazing liquid. The fat coats the mouth. Carrier, the fond, structural agent, the emulsion, and textural finish, the cold butter swirl, executed in sequence, in one pan, in under 5 minutes. Common failure, too much heat when the butter goes in. Above about 90 degrees Celsius, the butter solids fuse and the emulsion breaks. Off heat, swirling is the rule. Blanquette de veau, cream and yolk liaison. A liaison is a yolk and cream mixture added to a hot, but not boiling sauce to thicken and enrich it. Two emulsifiers, yolk and milk protein, working together. The cuisine's most controlled emulsion outside the pure sauces. The liaison is added off the heat, never returned to a boil. The yolk would scramble and the sauce would grain. Common failure, returning the pot to a boil after the liaison goes in. The yolk coagulates, the cream proteins denature, and the velvety sauce becomes grainy in a way nothing recovers. Brandy de Meru, fish and oil emulsion as paste. A solid-state emulsion, salt cod is poached, then beaten with olive oil, garlic, and a small amount of cream or milk, until the oil and the fish are suspended in each other as a smooth paste. Structurally identical to mayonnaise, the fish protein replaces the yolk lecithin, but served as a spread, not a sauce. Common failure, oil added all at once. As with aioli, the emulsifier, here the fish protein, cannot keep up. The fix is the same. Start slow, work in a small amount, build the suspension before adding more oil. Cacio e pepe, cheese water emulsion under pressure. A starch and cheese emulsion. The same logic as aglio e olio, but the cheese, pecorino, provides additional emulsifying protein. And the pepper is bloomed in fat first to carry its aromatic. The window is narrow, too hot, and the cheese clumps. Too cool and the starch doesn't hydrate enough to coat the fat. Common failure, cheese added directly to hot oil. The protein seize and clump before the starch water can suspend them. The fix is to mix the cheese with a few spoons of the cooling pasta water off the heat first, building a small emulsion that is then added back to the pan. Hollandaise, the warm yolk emulsion, the flagship structural agent example. Egg yolks, clarified butter, lemon, salt, held warm, whisked until the butter is dispersed as droplets through the yolk and water phase. The temperature window, about 60 to 65 degrees Celsius, is unforgiving in both directions. Common failure, too hot. The yolk scrambles, the sauce breaks, the kitchen smells like Sunday brunch gone wrong. The classic recovery. Add a tablespoon of warm water to a new yolk in a fresh bowl, then whisk the broken sauce slowly back in. Works because it gives the yolk a fresh chance to do the structural work. Beurre blanc, butter stabilized reduction. Wine and shallot, reduced. Cold butter swirled in off the heat. The butter's own milk solids emulsify the reduction. No yolk, no flour, no cream. Just butter doing both jobs, structural and textural, in a single, narrow temperature window, between about 60 degrees Celsius and 80 degrees Celsius. Common failure, the reduction was too acidic. The proteins in the butter denature unevenly, and the sauce splits as it's plated. The fix is to taste the reduction before the butter goes in. If it's sharply acidic, soften it with a spoon of cream or stock. Common misunderstandings. More butter will save it. Often the opposite. If a sauce is broken, more fat is more fuel for the broken state. The fix is almost always to reduce temperature, restart the emulsion with a fresh emulsifier, or thin the sauce so the existing emulsifier has more room to work. Olive oil is olive oil. Not for cooking purposes. An extra virgin olive oil from a single estate, with a smoke point around 190 degrees Celsius, is a finishing oil. A refined pure olive oil, or pomace olive oil, with a smoke point around 220 degrees Celsius, is a working oil. Substituting one for the other, in a recipe that needs the other, is a quiet common source of dishes that taste both heavy and under-seasoned. Emulsions are advanced cooking. Emulsions are everyday cooking. Every vinaigrette, every pasta sauce that doesn't run off the noodles, every stew with a glossy surface, every salad dressing that doesn't separate in the bowl, is an emulsion. The cook is already managing them constantly. This chapter only names what was already being done. Fat slows down cooking. It depends on the job. Fattest carrier is fast, under 2 minutes for most aromatic transfers. Fattest structural agent is medium. Minutes to build. Fattest textural finish is the slowest in one sense. The cook waits for the end of a dish to add it, and the fastest in another. The gesture itself is seconds. Cream is just heavy butter. Cream is fat dispersed in protein-rich water. Butter is fat with most of the water removed. Their behaviors in a sauce are different. Cream reduces, butter melts. Cream's window is wider. Butter's is narrower. Substituting one for the other reliably distorts the sauce. Fat-free cooking is healthier cooking. This is a diet claim, not a culinary claim, and the chapter is silent on it by design. What is true in the kitchen, a dish that asks fat to do all three jobs in the same gesture, carrier plus structure plus finish, always feels worse than the same dish that uses three smaller fat moments. and that this chapter tries to make portable, is to stop seeing fat as an ingredient and start seeing it as three distinct gestures, each with its own timing, its own temperature, its own purpose. The carrier gesture goes in at the start. The structural gesture lives in the middle. The finished gesture goes in at the end, off the heat, alone. If a dish tastes flat, check carrier. If a dish broke, check structural. If a dish feels thin in the mouth, check finish. If a dish feels heavy, one fat is doing two jobs at once. Separate them. Four questions, one diagnostic, applied to dishes from any cuisine on earth. Fat is a carrier, a structural agent, and a textural finish. The three jobs are independent, and confusing them is the single largest source of failures in home cooking. Carrier loads aroma into the medium at the start. Working oils, neutral. Finishing oils, do not heat. Aromatics in for 30 to 90 seconds. Structural agent holds an emulsion together in the middle. Temperature windows are narrow and unforgiving. Mechanical energy is non-negotiable during creation, then optional. Textural finish coats the mouth at the end. Off the heat. Late, often unblended on purpose. Finishing oils, cold butter, cream, the drop of toasted sesame. Different cuisines specialize in different jobs. French cooking elevates the structural. Italian elevates the finish. Japanese keeps the three jobs in separate ingredients. Indian elevates the carrier. Chinese elevates the rendered fat finish. Spanish and Mediterranean cuisines elevate the slow carrier sofrito. A dish that feels heavy is almost always asking one fat to do two jobs at once. The fix is to split the fat moment in two, never to add more. A sauce that broke is almost always outside its temperature window. The fix is to lower the heat, never to push through. When you next stand over a pan and feel a dish slipping away from you, ask the four questions in Section 8.